Welcome to Carnivores Don't Get Sunburned, hosted by Carrie Mann. Dive into the extraordinary journey of rediscovering optimal health through the carnivore diet. Here, we share powerful transformations from reversing chronic illnesses to achieving peak human potential. Each episode, we'll explore the real stories of those who've turned their lives around, embracing a diet that's as natural as the sun. Stay tuned as we uncover the science, the success stories, and the secrets to thriving on this ancestral diet. Plus, don't miss our exciting documentary highlights featuring a diverse range of carnivore champions. Ready to challenge the conventional? Let's get started.
There's people that think, oh no, food addiction isn't a real thing, but it is a real thing. I teach addictions at a college, that's my day job, and it is. It's really one step at a time.
Do you feel like on carnivore, you're abstaining from your addiction, where on keto, maybe it was more trying to moderate it?
Yeah, when you're on keto, you're just playing around with it, right? Because I'm still looking for the treat or all of those keto desserts. I was going so well for a long time, staying right on track. And then I went to someone's house one year and they had my favorite dessert. So I thought, I'll just have one small piece. It took me an entire year to get back on track after that. I just couldn't do it. And that's one thing that carnivore does for us, is that we can take control of our own lives and we can create the life that we don't want to escape from. The truth is, you can do this.
Hello and welcome. Carrie here from Healing Humanity, the Power of a Proper Human Diet. And today I'm thankful, grateful, and blessed to welcome Kathy to the channel. Welcome, Kathy. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Of course, I'm carnivore. That's why I'm doing fantastic. Yeah.
I love it. That's the default setting for carnivores. I'm so happy you're here. Kathy has been an amazing member of our healinghumanity.life membership site. I know you went to meetups with our good friend, Jeff DeProsperous, and you've just been an amazing member in the community as well. And I'm interested in personally hearing your story, but also sharing it with my audience here and hopefully inspiring some others. So maybe if we could get started, Kathy, could you tell me what sort of health issues did you have earlier in life, and I guess what sort of led you to this space?
Well, I'll start with what led me to this space. And what that was years ago, back in January 1st, 2006, I was doing a workplace challenge, a health challenge. Many of us needed to lose weight, so my goal was just lose weight. So I went on Atkins induction, and I did. I lost well over 100 pounds. And I kept the majority of that off, went through some life events, got into some emotional stuff and got into keto products, gained a little bit back. Then we had a major worldwide pandemic thing happening. And at that point, I was noticing that people that were really sick and dying, for the most part, they were big and they had four comorbidities on average. And I thought, oh my goodness, I actually have some issues, because I'd kind of been eating that processed keto food or whatever. So I thought, I need to do something about this. And I thought, well, I know what works. I'll go back on Atkins induction, which basically is meat with under 20 grams of carbs. So as time went on, I noticed that I wasn't really eating the vegetables that I brought. They were sitting in the fridge, and at the end of every week, I would go buy new vegetables and throw those ones out because they're getting old. And I thought, well, why am I buying vegetables anyway? So my first connection would have been through a book, and that was with Dr. Westman, Dr. Atkins. I'd been looking in the low-carb community for years, and Dr. Barry's been out there for many years. I don't know how long, but many years. So I started to look online at different people, and I saw that some people were eating just meat. And I thought, why not? I should join one of these groups just to see what it's all about, since I was throwing my vegetables out anyway and just pretty much eating meat. And the first one I went into was a steak and butter gang. And then I tried a few other ones. So I've been in many. Dr. Lisa Wiedemann's and Kelly Hogan's and, of course, Healing Humanity. So quite a few. I also wanted to learn more. I've become a nutrition advisor. That's with the Nutrition Network. I'm a food addiction recovery advocate with Joan Ifland, an insulin IQ coach. I just wanted to learn more because I thought I need everything that I can get and then I can help others. So that's what I've basically been doing. And I've written a few courses. Some I've taught in Joan Ifland's, and then of course in Healing Humanity, I wrote a course which is Healing from Food Addiction. But you were asking about my health conditions. So there's a number of them. I brought my book. And the interesting thing is that I keep updating it. So it's not just one thing. There's two, three. Some of them are major, some of them are minor. First of all, high blood pressure.
Today's video is sponsored proudly by ButcherBox. They recently launched a new initiative where you can support your local USA American farmers. Support American farmers with this new US pasture-raised beef from ButcherBox. This is USDA choice meat. Look at this ribeye. It's absolutely fantastic. The cows are never in feedlots. They're pasture-raised. There's no antibiotics, no hormones. You're supporting a local American farmer. I get so many people asking me, how can I do that? Now you can do it with ButcherBox. There's more details, including a really special offer, if you use the link in the description below. Thank you so much for watching. Now back to today's video.
I've had high blood pressure like forever, it seems. And when I went carnivore, that was healed. Acid reflux, another thing going carnivore that was healed. Now, the weight loss primarily had come before that, primarily. And I can stay awake for the whole day. I don't have to have a nap. I used to have a nap. I thought every afternoon I needed a nap. I do appreciate the change in size from a size 26 to a size 14. So I feel pretty comfortable there. I have what's called hemicrania continua. So what that means, there's a headache on one side of my head all the time. It never goes away. They don't really tell us much in Canada. I went into the doctor, said, it was a neurologist. I said, I've got a headache on one side of my head all the time. So he comes back and tells me hemicrania continua. So what does that mean? A headache on one side of the head all the time. I told you that, but that is way reduced. Sometimes it goes up a bit, but I kind of know some triggers like lack of sleep. And I sleep way better than I used to. My blood sugar is normal. So I was pre-diabetic and my last A1C was 4.8. My eyesight has changed from a minus 2.75 to minus 1.25. My eGFR went from 56 to 94. I've had a heart murmur forever, and they can't find it anymore. It disappeared. It was still there when I was on keto or Atkins induction, but it's not there anymore. I mean, I've been in intensive care, cardiac intensive care and all that kind of thing for what seemed to be a valve infection at that time, but whatever. That's better. And something that really bothered me was chronic constipation. I mean, chronic constipation, serious, serious stuff. I used to not just live off fiber pills and enemas. I used to travel with a snake, you know, the kind to unplug the toilet. Like, it was bad news. and that's totally resolved. I'm like, wow, I never even thought that was possible. I've saved a lot of money just on that, just on all these laxatives, fiber supplements, all that kind of stuff. I was diagnosed at one time with vasculitis. However, they re-diagnosed it with capillary fragility. And I've come into Healing Humanity because I still have some of those little breakouts in my skin. And I was able to talk to Dr. Nelson about that. So that's one thing I really appreciate about Healing Humanity is that there's professionals, there's doctors, coaches, and really being able to get some answers, some practical answers to apply to your life. And I had a Morton's neuroma in my foot, which is extremely painful. Just to touch anything, it's like electricity shoots right through your whole body, and that is completely gone. So on top of those things, there's the little things, or at least I think they're little, like being able to go in the sun and not get sunburnt. Mm. And I'm like, wow. And then cold sores. I used to get cold sores all the time. And since I've been carnivore, I have had, I think, two, and they were very short-lived. So I've been carnivore now over about 4.5 years. So that's amazing too. So there's been a lot of healing, and most of that healing came through carnivore, even though most of the weight loss came through doing Atkins induction.
I really enjoy hearing your story. There's a lot of similarities with my story. I started with Atkins, the 20 carbs or less. I don't know that I ever read the full book because it sounds like you did similar, but I always just aimed for 20 carbs or less. I just stuck in the induction phase kind of forever. Yep. But I ended up getting the keto snacks and treats and things like that just slowly, just a little bit here, a little bit there. And it seemed to perpetuate my addiction. And then I would end up having a little cheat day, and then the cheat day would turn into like a weekend. And I'm so thankful that you put together your course and that you're talking about addiction. And I was hoping to talk to you a little bit more about addiction because there's so many good doctors out there now, and some of them touch on it a little bit here or there. I know like Dr. Lisa Wiedemann, she talks about it quite a bit, but some of them don't. I feel like it's a much bigger problem for many people. I guess, do you feel like on carnivore, you're just abstaining from your addiction, where on keto, maybe it was more trying to moderate it?
Yeah, when you're on keto, you're just playing around with it, right? Because I'm still looking for, you know, the chocolate bar or the treat or the this or the that, or making all of those keto desserts. I made a ton of them.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a real thing. There's even people that think, oh no, food addiction isn't a real thing, but it is a real thing. I was going so well for a long time, staying right on track. And then I went to someone's house one year and they had my favorite dessert. And the woman is a fabulous cook. So I thought, I'll just have one small piece. It took me an entire year to get back on track after that. I just couldn't do it. So there are people out there that can moderate. They're okay. They can have one little piece of something and they seem to be able to handle that. They have a treat and they leave it at that. Whether it's mindset or whether it's physiological, I can't really answer that for sure. But I know for myself, I have to abstain, because if I don't abstain, I can throw myself way off real fast with one treat.
Yeah. I'm the exact same way. And I learned that lesson on keto, having a little cheat here or there. And it would throw me off, like the amount of times I've yo-yoed and went up and down. And I guess the reason I like talking about this is because I think that's a much larger problem for so many people. And a lot of people don't admit it. And we just keep hearing this message all the time, which, like, if we were quitting alcohol, we wouldn't hear over and over again, well, you can moderate alcohol, you can have a little bit of it. But with food, it's just, Jen and I were just talking because we had the girls' graduation. We had so many people over, and there was like two or three people. talking to Jen, why can't you just moderate? Why can't you just moderate? It's like, I get it. They don't understand. But I feel like when you look around in the world, and what is it, like 90% of people have poor metabolic health, 70% of people are overweight, fatty liver disease, children with type 2 diabetes. It just seems like for most people, we're addicted to these foods. And it's nothing to be feel shame about, just because the foods are engineered to be more and more addictive. I think the foods they have out right now are even more addictive than 10 years ago, than 20 years ago, and so on. So I'm always careful with that, because there's some people that sort of, it's okay if you have a little cheat. Well, of course, if you fall off, you should get back on and do it. But there's that. And then there's also like, well, it's fine if you just have a little cheat here, and then someone ends up going off the rails like you did for a year. And I've done that. You just mentioned you did it. I feel like that's a bigger problem for so many people. I think that's the beauty of carnivore, is we're totally abstaining. Keto's great and wonderful. That was going to be my other question for you. Do you feel like you would have ever done carnivore had you not done keto before? Because carnivore does sound really crazy to a lot of people. But I know for myself, I'm like, well, this is just a stricter version of keto. And I was doing keto before. This is just minus the vegetables. Do you think that helped sort of ease you into carnivore?
Well, when I coach people, I never really encourage them to do carnivore right away. I encourage them more to just cut out the carbs, cut out the processed foods, first of all the sugars, all the flours, the chemicals, get rid of that first. Secondly, then you can eat, you know, the vegetables, keep your carbs way down, vegetables and meat. And then if you feel to, then go ahead and go all the way to carnivore, but just one step at a time, because otherwise it's too much. I teach addictions, you know, at a college. That's my day job. And it's really one step at a time. Sometimes they do, you know, harm reduction for a bit, but the idea, even in harm reduction, is that you're going to eventually get off of whatever the substance is. So I kind of feel like keto is like a harm reduction.
Yeah. I think that's great advice, because when I heard about carnivore, I jumped right into it, but I was already doing keto. So in many ways I did kind of ease into it without really knowing it. And my wife, Jen, she just jumped right into it from doing vegetarian, and it didn't work out well. She had to backtrack, sort of thing. So
it'd be hard.
What you also said earlier, about the big, the 2020, the pandemic, it's so interesting how you mentioned that, and how you kind of looked around and observed things and realized. I had the same thing. I don't know if I was as observant as you were. I think I might have heard someone talking about it on a podcast, but just the fact that it seems like most people that are getting really sick from this thing that's going around have poor metabolic health. And I realized that during that time. And I remember I went really hard. I didn't know about carnivore then. I went really hard keto, though. Like, I'm going to eat really clean and try to be as healthy as possible. And most of my family ended up getting the thing that was going around. We're not allowed to say on YouTube. I think we could say it on YouTube now. I'm not sure, though, but just to be careful.
I don't know, but we all know. Okay.
Yeah. And I just breezed through it. I had like a headache, and I was a little sick for like maybe a half hour, and then it was just through. But metabolically, I think I was really healthy at that time, because I was doing keto and I was doing it kind of clean. Does that make you think more, like, would we have even had something like that if most of the world was eating a proper human diet?
Would we have still had that? I think we still would have had that. It just may not have had the effect that it had on people. Like you said, it was very short-lived for you. At the time that was happening, I was actually working in a group home, and all of the residents got this. All of the staff got this. So they're all off. And the only ones were remaining were myself and one other person, plus the night shift was still there. And I thought, this is interesting. I don't know if this is good or bad, because now I had to work a lot. So I think it's a protective factor for sure. I mean, going carnivore doesn't guarantee that you'll never be sick, or, you know, nothing's ever going to happen to you. But it's definitely a huge protective factor. There's so much healing that's in there, and your immune system is better. Because when things are kicking around now, I've had two colds in the last 4.5 years, and that's it. So to me, that's really good. I used to get probably 2 a year.
Yeah. What is one of the questions I get, because I have a lot of new carnivores that are considering doing this or just starting. They always want to know, like, what do you eat on a daily basis? What's your typical meal look like in the course of a day?
Yeah, and that does vary. I tend to go through phases where I do a little bit more of this or that. So everyone has their version, I guess, of carnivore. So my version of carnivore includes spices. And also, I drink a weak decaf coffee black. Some people don't do that, but that's okay. So in a typical day, I may have, well, I had 3 eggs this morning, but I oftentimes have 3 eggs and a few slices of bacon. I take it to work with me. It's so simple. Just boiled eggs. I don't even like boiled eggs, but if I get hungry, I'll eat them. And then when I get home, that's when I have dinner. Normally, I have about 1 pound of ground beef for dinner. And that's raw. And by the time you cook it, it's 12 ounces. So I'm like, that's about what I have. Today, I didn't. Today, I had fish. I had sole fried in bacon fat. And that's basically what I eat. That's it.
What sort of advice do you give to people you're coaching? A lot of people, they hear about carnivore. I know you mentioned you kind of ease them into doing this, but some people just can't even wrap their brain around keto. I was very fortunate to have Dr. Westman on the channel, and he was like, Carrie, I can't even mention keto to some people. Imagine if I were to say the word carnivore, they'd be terrified from that. But he was, even after all of these years, still having trouble mentioning keto. How do you approach this and talk to people? Because it is really hard. I remember Dr. Kilt saying, talking about people's nutrition or diet is kind of like talking about politics or religion. It can be really hard to talk to people about it.
Yeah, it is. Well, it depends. If the person's coming to me and they're actually asking about carnivore, I tell them, get rid of all the garbage, get rid of all the junk food. First of all, you got to clean your cupboards out, because if it's sitting there, it's going to call your name. So that needs to go. And then go ahead and eat meat. Eat as much meat as you want. If you want to eat, and I know rotisserie chickens are not the best, but I will say, if you want to go buy a rotisserie chicken and eat the whole rotisserie chicken, you go for it. Just do that when they're first starting.
Right.
You know, do eat the meats that you like. I happen to really like barbecued hamburgers. So that would be my thing. Barbecued hamburger, I'm good. But look at the things that you really like. Eat that and eat as much of it as you want. I don't worry about, you know, tweaking at that point. So things like, you know, people talk about eating windows and any of that. No, you go right ahead. Just eat. And then as time goes on, they probably won't want to continue that. It'll probably cut down and to something reasonable. And then they can get it, if they want to tweak it to time-restricted eating, like eating, fasting 18 hours and eating 6 or whatever, that's fine. But every person is very different in that.
Yeah. And you mentioned the coaching. So you've been carnivore a little over 4 years, you said?
4.5 years, yep.
And when did you start the coaching?
I started coaching in 2015 when I wrote my book. So that's the book. It's on Amazon. And I started that after with keto. So it is not a carnivore book. It's actually a biblically based book. And so we go through a number of different things in here, and we look at various aspects of our life. But one of them is what we eat. And so I don't tell people what to eat, but I do talk about the different kinds of eating, the different food plans. So we look at the Canada's Food Guide, the Rainbow Diet, the Genesis diet, the Daniel, which is not really a diet, it was a fast, and just different things like that. And we do look at low carb, keto. We didn't have carnivore. The word didn't exist, I don't think, at that point. I just heard Sean Baker is the one that decided to call it carnivore. Before that, it was called zero carb. And he started that, I think, I don't know how many years ago, 7, 8, 9 years ago, maybe. But yeah, so that word wasn't there yet. But I do look at ketogenic diets in there as meal plans. But I also look at mindsets, because there is a lot in mindsets. You know, we failed so many times. Oh, I'm just going to fail again. Well, that's not true. If you nourish your body, and if you get yourself in a good community, if you continue to do the work, decide on something that you can do instead of eating, because a lot of eating is just a habit. At least it was for me, and it is for many people. They're used to sitting in front of the TV in the evening. They're relaxing. So what do? They go grab a snack. Well, we don't need snacks at all, but they'll go grab a snack. But find something else that you can do. Go for a walk. Crochet. You know, create a YouTube, whatever. But read a book. Connect with other people. But finding something else to do to replace those habits. Because what we've been doing when we were in the food, we created these neural pathways by doing these habitual things. Sit down, grab this, snack in the evening. Watch TV, feed up, you know, snacking or whatever. So changing those neural pathways takes some time, but not really a lot of time, so long as you get rid of all of the processed foods and the sugars, flours, that kind of thing.
It
can't be done.
Yeah. I love the thought of the neural pathways. I heard someone else talking about this, and they're like, imagine a path and you keep going down the path. It gets deeper and you're more entrenched in doing that as we eat over and over again. And I found myself on carnivore kind of repaving those neural pathways. I didn't really know I was doing it until I started learning about it more. But exactly like you said, in fact, just yesterday, Jen and I, we went kayaking. It's been rare to have a nice day and time to do it. But as we were doing it, Kathy, we were like, this is something we wouldn't have done before. Before this, it would have been like, where are we going out to dinner now? We have a free hour. Like, what are we going to eat? And it was always food. It's amazing when that happens. It's hard to explain to people, too, the benefits of that. But Jen and myself have found ourselves doing new activities and new things in place of the food and just eating all the time. What are some things that you've changed? Do you have like any new hobbies or anything you're doing differently?
Do I have any new hobbies? I've tried a few. At this point, I'm just working a lot. So I work online. I work coaching some. I work teaching at the college. So I work a lot. And I also travel 3 hours a day to commute for work.
Oh, wow.
So it's a lot. Yeah. Now, that won't be forever. For how long, I don't know. But so have I done any new things? I have to say not really. Just doing some walking. I did buy a bicycle, but I really haven't found the time for that. I was going to Water Fit for a while, but again, the schedule doesn't line up. I did start, it was a seniors exercise program, and I really liked it. However, it's during the daytime. Everything for seniors is during the daytime, and I work in the daytime, so that it doesn't work for me. What I do right now is I drive to work, and halfway on my trip, I stop, and it's at the river. It's near where we had the meeting for the Ontario meetup, so it's near there. It's the Grand River, and I would stop there. I go for a walk for half an hour, and then I continue my trip to work. And that's really nice. I get to meet people. Today I saw a swan. The swan was trying to attack these goslings, and just to watch the Canada geese, they're going to take care of this swan. So that was interesting.
Right. Wow. So you're very busy.
Very.
Do you feel like you're going to be eating carnivore this way for the rest of your life?
For sure. For sure. There have been times that I've had a little bit of vegetables. Like if I go to a fancy restaurant and there happens to be a little bit of vegetable on the plate, I just eat it because I don't really have any autoimmune issue. It doesn't affect me mentally or anything like that to have a little bit. In fact, it was only a few weeks ago I'd gone somewhere and I think it was $26 for a hamburger. Mm. And I thought, oh my goodness. So I had it on a lettuce wrap. At least I felt like I had something. So normally I don't. Normally I would just have the meat. But in those circumstances, I'll add that little bit.
What is it like for you coaching someone? And maybe, I don't know what your experience has been, but have you had the opportunity to, someone's found like really healing or a second chance at life through your coaching?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I actually just got a message, I think it was yesterday. And she was just talking about how things so dramatically changed for her. So when I'm coaching, because it's a little bit different, I am an ordained minister. I have this sort of slant, if you want to call it that. So it's from a Christian perspective. It's always from a biblical perspective. And I just listen to the person because sometimes there's something behind it. Like when we talk about in the book too, we talk about generational curses and things like that, which are not really the norm to talk about. And you might think it's not related to weight, but there are some things related to weight. You can even say it's just, you know, what you learned in your family culture. So she's just talked about how she just was so dramatically changed with one of our sessions. Mm. And yeah, so that was really encouraging. And I have, you know, every week I have a very small group of carnivores and we meet together and we just talk about the latest, greatest, whatever's happening in our lives. It's that one's not recorded or anything. It's just a private group. And we just talk about whatever's happening. One of them has a mold issue. She's been working through that. Because there's other things that happen. And when there's challenges that people face. Because like I said, carnivore does heal. But there are sometimes some other things that need to be added in.
Right. On the biblical side, I wanted to ask you, I get a lot of comments from people that say, the Bible says I can eat vegetables. The Bible says I can eat fruit. Why can't I eat these things?
Well, you actually can. You can eat anything you want. Right? You can. Right. But is that going to be healthy for you? So, in fact, if you want to look in Genesis, so in Genesis 1, right, they just ate fruit. And that was good. It was good. But that fruit wasn't the fruit that we have today. Mm. And in Genesis 3, that's where the fall came in. That's where man sinned. So I find that interesting because I think when man sinned and man was cursed, so by man, I mean people, that all of creation was cursed. Mm. And that this is where the toxins came in the plants. That's my theory on it. I have no science, nothing to back it up, except that in Genesis 3, that's where the fall came in, the fall of man. And then in Genesis 9 is where they first were told to eat meat. Later on in the New Testament, Peter is told to eat meat, even the unclean animals, because the Jewish people, they had clean and unclean. And he was told even to eat the unclean animals. So we can eat anything. But over the years, the fruits, the vegetables that they had are not the fruits and vegetables that we have now. We now have Monsanto that has all its seeds out. We have glyphosates on everything. Even when you purchase organic, it's in the groundwater. It's in the fields. It's in the air. And it's affecting the vegetables, some worse than others. So these toxins that are in the vegetables, like lectins and oxalates, those kind of things, they can really affect some people very seriously. And some people maybe can tolerate a little bit. But when you eat carnivore, particularly if you're eating a ruminant meat, it doesn't have any of that. It's been processed. It's been made to eat grass. We weren't made to eat grass. It is. And it processes it. So the but goes through four different stomachs, basically. And then we eat it, and it is good. If you eat an egg, eggs are sterile inside unless they've been cracked or damaged. They're sterile inside. They're good. There's all the nutrition that you need to make a chicken in there. And it, you know, so I think it has to do with what's the optimum nutrition. And how much vegetables would you have to eat to feel full? You'd never be full, ever. Right. And then grains, that's like a whole other story. Grains are, yeah, so inflammatory. You know, there's the book by what, Bill Davis, I think it is, Wheat Belly. It's a good one to read on that. There's nothing good that we need from grains.
Right. Yeah, these things are so changed from what they were. And I feel like it's such a miracle to be alive. And the Bible also talks about your body as a temple and taking care of things. And I feel, truthfully, I know I'm biased because I'm carnivore, but I don't feel there's a better way to take care of my body than doing this. Because like you mentioned, I just feel like this is the most natural way we can eat, given the many, many broken options we have now. We just interviewed Dr. Barry again for our documentary, and he makes stuff so simple, but very similar to what you just said. You know, a cow has four stomachs. He's like, Carrie, just think of it like filters. So the cow's eating the grass and it's going through four filters, and then you eat that meat and it goes through your filter. So it's even going through another filter because we're a filter. The cow's a filter.
Yep.
And so by the time you're eating that beef, I really believe there's really nothing cleaner or more natural in the world that we could be eating. It is kind of a sobering reality, though, how just broken and messed up we've made things. The grains, the fruits, the vegetables. And even I was talking to someone about this the other day, though, the water. We've even managed to ruin one of the most simple things on earth, the water. I mean, you used to drink water and have magnesium and minerals and all sorts of stuff in it, and now it's got fluoride or it's filtered or microplastics. And it's really really kind of sobering how broken things are.
Well, when you think of food, you know, man is the only one that was smart enough to create their own food with processed food, right? The only ones smart enough to create their own food, but the only ones that are stupid enough to eat it.
Yeah. It's so hard to wrap your brain around too, because we're the big brain humans. We should be smarter than this. And it's just like, you take a big, big, huge step back and you're like, what are they doing down there? Why are they poisoning themselves? It doesn't make any sense. And
yeah. Yeah. But you're right. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And in everything that we do, everything that we think, everything that we eat is to bring glory to God.
Yeah.
So if we're filling our bodies with poison, with toxins, knowingly, that doesn't bring God glory.
Right. I feel like, too, there's something to be said for eating better, healing your body, and then being able to function at a higher level as a human. I don't know what it was like for you, Kathy, but I had horrible brain fog and I was always fatigued and I'd kind of plop down on the couch and do the bare minimum. A lot of people are familiar with our friend Bill Knott in Alaska. And yeah, he's amazing. Everyone loves him. I love him. And I keep telling him, like, Bill, do you realize how many people you're inspiring with your story? He gets so many comments, and those neural pathways for Bill are really deep. I'm trying to help him repave them to show, like, you're really helping a lot of people.
And he really is. Yep.
He wants to help more people find God, which is amazing. But I'm trying to say to him, like, I think you are. I think God has a plan. You are. When they're healing their body, they're healing their mind, and they can think clear. I feel like my relationship with God is so much stronger now that I'm not plopped down on the couch with brain fog, like barely being able to function. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, but I feel like that's been a common thread with a lot of people I interview. Their relationship with God seems to strengthen as they do this.
Absolutely. And, you know, oftentimes people will look to the Lord and they'll say, oh, God, just heal me, just heal me, just heal me, but not take any action. But if you take action, God takes action. So it's kind of like this checkers game or chess game. You do the move, God does the move. You do the move, God does the move. Yeah. And when you talk about Bill Knott, right, he cried out to God. He says, like desperate. He was desperate. I need help. And God answered him. Yeah. And I do believe, like you said, he is speaking to who knows how many, hundreds of thousands, millions, I don't know. But all of our lives, all of us who are improving our health through carnivore are speaking truth, and we're reaching out to other people. Our life is like a book. It's read of all men. They're looking at us and they're saying, oh, how did you do that? Mm-hmm. You know, or why are you happy? Can't you see what's happening around you? You know, so there's so many things. Just be the change that you want to see in the world. That's what Gandhi said.
Yeah. I love what you said too about you cry out to God, but you have to do something about it. And that's what Bill did. He did it. He took his life into his own hands and he decided to do something that was really hard, because I get a lot of comments from people, and most of them are just amazing. They're blessings, like people that have found healing. But then I get people that are thinking about doing carnivore and they almost want me to somehow do it for them. And it's like, you have to do this. You have to do this.
That's right.
I think of it with Bill, like there's a scary path in the woods and most people won't take the path, and I can kind of show you where the path is, but you ultimately have to walk down that path and do it. And that's what you've done and I've done and Bill has done. And I love how you said that, because a lot of people, they'll cry out to God, but then they won't actually do it. And you have to take your life in your own two hands and actually do it.
Yes, you do. And it is scary. It is scary to do something new. But we step out in faith and we just take that step. I know Bill's first step was he contacted you, right? And then it kind of went from there. Our first step, or some people's first step, is right now. They're watching this recording and they're thinking, I wonder if I can do that. The truth is, you can do this. Mm-hmm. You can. Right? Step out and do it. Join a group. Join Healing Humanity. Like, we need community. And that's something I talk about. And it's in the course too. You know, there's several things that we need to look at. And I always use the hand as an example. I'm not sure exactly what I have in there. But we've got our spirit. Our spirit touches all the areas of our life. Right? We've got our body. The Peter Pointer takes us places. We've got our mind in the center. This one is relationships. That's the one that's the highest up. So that's the mind. Then we've got relationships that are over here, and community. We've got to have community. We've got to join it together. We need to have that balance of all things. We need the knowledge. We need it all. Starting with the thumb, the spirit that touches it all.
Mm. I love that. When I first started carnivore, I was kind of cynical. I'm like, you just eat meat. You don't really need community. Well, what do you got? You don't need coaching. And I was so foolish for saying that. And I'm so thankful. Initially, I joined Dr. Barry's group. And then when my wife Jen started, she kind of resonated more with Bella. So she joined Bella's group, and that was great for her. I used a lot of just YouTube initially, but I realized shortly after I was being foolish that the community is so important, just because you're so alone. Yes. Most people are doing this. You're the odd one. Yes. Out. And we're living in a world where everyone is kind of doing different. They're eating sugar and celebrating it at every holiday, and you're just kind of the weird one there. I don't know who said this quote, but I heard this before and I loved it. And it's something to the effect of, you are kind of the sum of the five people you spend the most time with.
That's correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you're trying to do carnivore and you're spending time with people that are not doing carnivore or eating birthday cake right. and junk food and not doing the same thing as you, it's going to be hard to succeed. So, and it, I always tell people too, I feel like I'm not, obviously I'm biased because we have the membership site, but I tell people if you can't afford the membership site or you can still get community without it. When I first started, before I went to Dr. Barry's group, my community was YouTube and the comments. And I was on Dante Ferrigno's videos, and it's like just a bunch of free videos out there. So that can be community too. And there's free Facebook groups out there also that you can use for community. And there's something too to be said, if you can get to any sort of meetup. Now I know you, for a while, you were also going to the Jeff DeProsperous meetups, right?
Right, Jeff DeProsperous. And then when I just went to the one that you had in Ontario, that was fantastic. There was, a couple hundred people there? And I thought, you mean there's other carnivores in Ontario other than our little group? I didn't know. So that was really wonderful to meet, some other people that were relatively close by. Because it's hard when you're the lone one. You're the only one. I'm the only one in my family. I'm the only one at work. I'm the only one with my friends. I'm the only one.
Wow.
But there's a lot of tricks to that too. How do you manage social settings when everybody else is eating all of that? That's kind of a typical thing that people face. It's all things we talk about in any one of these support groups.
Yeah. The meetup you mentioned, there's just something about meeting others in person. The energy is always great. And then if you can get a regular one, like with Jeff, I think you guys were meeting like once a week or something.
We were meeting once a week. Not so much right now. Hopefully we'll get a few more going.
Right. But the big meetup that we just had too, I was surprised and so thankful. It seems like it's kind of turning into a movement. I was surprised for the turnout that we had there. Like you mentioned, it was a big turnout. And the thing that's really cool with that is we go and do a meetup like that and then we leave. And I think there's a lot of networking and connections that are made to spring up another group, another meetup where they'll do it on their own afterwards, which is kind of really cool.
I connected with a lot of people in Niagara region at that time, which was really cool. And of course there was one that I knew, Carolyn, that's in Healing Humanity and got to talk to her, and that was cool. I know a few others in Ontario already. Some are in Healing Humanity and in other groups. So, and it's interesting too, when you're online, because I've been in this group and that group and that group and that group, and I'm seeing some of the same faces. I'm like, I know you, I know you, I know you, I know you, right? So it's like we become a real family.
Right. Yeah, there's something too. It's like a really good family too, because I don't know what it is. Everyone I meet in this community, everyone's just great. They want to help each other. Even just people that are in the comments, it just seems like everyone is so supportive. I feel like maybe it's because we've been through something hard, all of us, and so we want to help other people get through something that's hard. It takes bravery, kind of like we were talking about before, to actually do this. It's kind of scary going down that path, and we've all done it. So maybe we resonate with each other more, but I can't quite put my finger on it, but there's something to this carnivore community. It's really quite amazing.
Well, I think a lot of it is kind of like what you went through with the depression and everything. So it's the mental health. So our mind is in a different state when you're on carnivore, right? We don't have the anxieties that we may have had before. We don't have the depressions that we may have had before. It's like there's a calm that comes over you. And I'm sure I've read that there's actually a biological reason for that, but there's a calm. And you accept people the way they are. It's just very, very different. It's just not the same as it was before.
It is. The calm is a good way to put it. That carnivore zen, some people call it. But
carnivore zen, yeah.
It's just so much more laid back. There's no more road rage, or it's just chill. It's something.
One of my students said that today. She said, I hope that one day I can just be as calm as you. And right? I thought, well, maybe.
Carnivore.
Yeah.
There's something to that, though. It's always it's a positive and amazing thing. And then for some reason, my brain has to think, but, and then I think that's probably how all of humanity would be if we were all eating a proper human diet. There probably wouldn't be much road rage, and we'd be getting along a lot better, and the world would probably be a lot better place. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that. Our documentary is called Healing Humanity. So we always ask people, does humanity need healing? What do you think about when you look around in the world now? How's your perspective changed?
Well, humanity needs healing for sure. But you know, when we're not eating the proper human diet, we can't think straight. We can't even use our frontal lobe. We can't make rational decisions. We're just going on our old limbic system. We're doing things just out of habit. We're doing things out of rote. We're feeding our hedonistic self. We're looking for whatever makes me feel good in the moment. But when you can use your rational mind, when you can use your frontal lobe, we can actually make decisions. And that's one thing that carnivore does for us, is that we can take control of our own lives, and we can create the life that we don't want to escape from.
I love that. Someone said this to me, and my parenting with the girls wasn't great when I was so sick for so long. It's a regret, but I can't do anything about it except be the best father I can be now. But one thing I've always told them, even through that time, is, you mentioned this earlier, making decisions, that your life is a result of the decisions you make. And I really believe that. And the value in being able to make better, wiser decisions is just so huge, and something that I never would have considered or thought about. Eating meat, doing, I'm going to go on carnivore, and I'm going to make wiser decisions. It's going to change my life. But I'll tell you what, we've interviewed over 50 people for our documentary, probably hundreds on my YouTube channel. And that seems to be a common thread with most of them, that whatever they do in life, whatever their success metric is, they seem to be more successful after doing this. And I think it's just because they're making better, wiser decisions, and they have the energy to execute on whatever they're doing in life as well, which allows them to be more successful.
Yep. And remember that our past can't dictate our future unless we let it, and that God will redeem the time. So it doesn't matter how long you've messed up for, how many decades you've been doing whatever you've been doing, no matter what the kind of addiction is, whether it's a food addiction or whether it's some other kind of addiction, it's redeemable. It's all redeemable. But one way to redeem it is to start by changing what we eat and start eating things that will nourish our bodies so that we can actually use our mind and make our own decisions.
Love it. I really enjoy talking to you, Kathy. You do have great energy. It's just like, it's calming talking to you.
I am calm.
Kathy, where can people find you? You mentioned your book. Can I leave a link in the description for that? And is there anywhere else people can find you?
So it's The Kingdom Way. This is the book that's on Amazon. I have a leader's guide that kind of goes with it that we talk through every Thursday in our meetings. TheKingdomWay.com is the website. The Kingdom Way, Keto to Carnivore, is the YouTube channel. The Kingdom Way on, is it Instagram, I think? Yeah. But anyway, just look it up, or look up Kathy Dixon. They probably will match.
I'll leave links in the description below too, so you can follow Kathy and pick up the book and check all of that out. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your story. Is there anything else you want to mention or say before we wrap up?
I would say get started right now. Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. So get started.
I love
Even
it.
If it's a small step, make that small step right now.
Good stuff. Thank you so much, Kathy. Really appreciate you coming on and sharing your story.
Thank you, Carrie. I appreciate you having me.